Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. It's great to be with you again. Really have enjoyed today. You know, I mentioned this morning that I was told that I had 40 minutes. And some of you were probably wondering who that was that told me that. I found out later that the one who told me that doesn't abide by it himself. So glad to hear that. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read verses 15 to 17. And then have a word of prayer. Let's read Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you tonight for your gracious will for us in Christ. We confess him tonight. Once again, we come before you in his name, and we desire to honor him even as we honor you. And we ask tonight that your Spirit would work, that your joy again would be in our hearts as we consider these truths, that you would enable us to respond and to walk in the newness of life that you've called us to. And we ask now for your blessing and presence in Christ's name. Amen. An article on Boston.com starts this way. A group of UCLA-affiliated social scientists concluded that American families are overwhelmed by clutter, too busy to go in their own backyards. They rarely eat dinner together, even though they claim family meals are a goal, and can't park their cars in the garage because they're crammed with non-vehicular stuff. The team of anthropologists, the article continues, a team of anthropologists and archaeologists spent 4 years studying 32 middle-class Los Angeles families in their natural habitat. Their toy-littered homes. And came to conclusions so grim that led the researcher to use the word disheartening to describe the situation that we have got ourselves into. At first glance, the just published 171-page book titled Life at Home in the 21st Century looks like a coffee table book, but it contains very real-life photos of pantries and offices and backyards and details a generally peace-free existence. Architectural Digest, or Real Simple, this is not. Among the findings detailed within, the rise of Costco and similar stores has prompted so much stockpiling that 3 out of 4 garages are too full to hold cars. I guess you never know when you'll need 600 Dixie cups or a 50-pound bag of sugar. Managing the volume of possessions is such a crushing problem in many homes that it elevates levels of stress hormones for mothers. Even families who invested in outdoor deck decor and improvements were too busy to go outside and enjoy their new decks. Can you relate to any of that tonight? I'd say it explains many in our Western world. So what are we going to do about this? Our busyness. We're in Ephesians 5. This is the application section of the book of Ephesians. Chapters 1 to 3 contained the doctrine. And now because of that doctrine, we are to live a certain way, chapters 4 to 6. And we're in Ephesians 5, and verse 15 says that we are to be careful how we walk. Circumspectly, it says. It means to be careful. You must, in light of the riches of God in Christ, you must be careful how you walk or how you live. Live, walk, live wisely, not as unwise, not as unwise believers. Live as someone who understands the Lord's will, not as someone who is foolish. But how should you walk wisely? How are you going to do that? What would it take? What would it look like to live in a wise way in this passage? In this passage, the answer to that is verse 16. How do you walk wisely? How should you walk wisely? How are you going to do that? Verse 16, by redeeming the time. And to redeem means to buy back, to buy something back. So we're called upon to buy back time. So we're to be careful to live as wise individuals. And we're going to do that by redeeming the time. We're making the most of each moment. Now, we are to redeem the time within a certain context, within a certain world view, a certain outlook on life. We are to redeem the time with a certain outlook on life. We are to redeem the time in light of certain truths. And those certain truths we have all around and in these verses. We're to redeem the time with a certain outlook on life. What is the outlook? What's the perspective? Redeem time with the outlook. Here it is. I'll just give it to you as we get into this tonight. God's plan of redemption. I'll just give it to you, and I'm going to show you that in the text here. We have three indications of this in the passage. First, the previous verses in 11 to 14 describe this. It emphasizes our relationship to the deeds of lost people who live in darkness. And it tells us in those verses that we are to expose the darkness, with the understanding here that they are exposed and that then they are saved. I'd say that's God's plan of redemption. Okay, that's before the passage tonight. And second, at the end of verse 17, we have a similar concept. We are to live carefully as wise individuals by redeeming the time. Verse 17, we are not to be foolish, but we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that phrase, the will of the Lord, does not refer to personal guidance in major life decisions. Does not refer to that. But we'll see a little later in the message tonight that the phrase itself as well refers to God's plan of redemption in Christ. It refers to God's will, and He accomplished His will in Christ when He had Him on the cross and raised Him from the dead, that people might be redeemed and be a part of His kingdom. The will of the Lord is God's plan of redemption. So before the passage and at the end of our text in verse 17, both of those places, so we are in a context now of God's plan of redemption. And within that plan of redemption, we are to redeem time within His plan. And as well, third, we'll see that wise, the word wise in verse 15 also is referring to God's plan of redemption. I'll show you that a little bit later. So we are to redeem time then with a certain outlook on life. What is the outlook on life? The three indications that I mentioned is that outlook is God's plan of redemption. So I'd like to preach tonight on redeeming time within God's plan of redemption. Redeeming time within God's plan of redemption. And what we'll see is redeeming time is a godly response commanded by Scripture, but it needs to be done for the right motives and to reach the right goals. Making the most of each moment must be done with the right motives and to reach the right goals. First, from verses 15 and 16, we see we're to live carefully as wise people. Live carefully as wise people, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Like I said, walk circumspectly means to live carefully. To walk means to live. Circumspectly means to be careful, to live carefully. Be careful with how you live. We need to live carefully, but as what kind of individuals? As wise individuals, it says. What does that mean? What does a wise individual look like in the book of Ephesians? Wisdom in the book of Ephesians concerns this, our understanding of God's plan of redemption. And I'm going to use that phrase a lot tonight, so I can get used to that. Okay, this is important tonight. Wisdom in the book of Ephesians concerns our spiritual understanding of what God is doing in redemption. If you understand that, the more you are becoming wise. And to see this, I'd like to ask you to turn back to Ephesians 1. I want to show you that tonight. Ephesians 1, we're going to see that Paul describes God's wisdom to refer to his wisdom in his plan of redemption specifically. If you've trusted in Christ for salvation and have lost your life for Christ's sake, you've made the first step of an infinite number of steps in truly understanding God's plan of redemption. Coming to Christ for salvation is the first step. It's the beginning of understanding the gospel. It's the beginning of understanding it. And this is the beginning, then, of a lifelong goal of really coming to grips with what God is doing to redeem people from their sins. And how he does that, if you ask Ephesians, Paul in Ephesians, how he's doing that through the church. We must constantly endeavor as Christian people, as those called out, to seek to understand more of what God is doing in the church through Christ Jesus for his own glory forever. And believers have at least some insight into this. At least some insight into God's plan of redemption. But we are to seek more of it. Let's read Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 7. He's speaking of the rich spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. There's that word. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence or insight. And having, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will. What is his will? Keep going. According to his good pleasure, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now here is his will. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one, or summarize, all things in Christ. That's what he's doing. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. That is his will. That in the fullness of the times, he's going to gather together, he's going to summarize everything in Christ. That's his will. And we have wisdom and insight into his will, that passage says. His will, that future age when He sums up everything in Christ. We have insight into this. This is God's will then, that He redeem people and bring them and everything underneath Christ's leadership in the future age. He made this known to us in wisdom, into verse 8 says. And believers understand this. This plan of God's redemption is God's wisdom that He has given to us. And believers understand this plan of His redemption. This is His wisdom. And then in verses 17 to 19, Paul is praying in Ephesians 1 here. He is praying that God would give to believers the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants believers to have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might fully understand God's plan of redemption for all the ages. Ephesians 1, verse 17, Paul is praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding having been enlightened, that you may know that you will come to have Holy Spirit empowered knowledge, that you will know three things. And here they are. You will really come to know three things into verse 18. Number one, what is the hope of His calling? You need to understand that. You need to understand, number two, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance, which is in the saints. In verse 19, number three, you need Holy Spirit-empowered knowledge concerning what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. So we need to pray that we would understand the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And we need to pray that we understand what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. Have you ever prayed that? This wisdom and insight that we are to have is Holy Spirit-empowered knowledge. God has to do a work. This goes well beyond mere academic textbook knowledge, although that is required. But what is also required is that the Holy Spirit would make that knowledge powerful in our hearts. This is why prayer is important. Pray, then. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and insight into God's eternal plan of redemption, the hope of His calling, riches of God's inheritance. Did you know God has an inheritance? His inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power? You need that understanding. I'm praying for that wisdom, then, to have that wisdom. This wisdom, God's plan, God's eternal plan of redemption is being worked out in the church. God's plan for all the ages is today, by God's design, being worked out in the church. So we need the Holy Spirit to empower our understanding, our insight, wisdom. We need wisdom from Him. We need insight into God's plan of redemption. He's working all that out through the church. And we can see that He is working it out through the church a couple of chapters over now in Ephesians chapter 3. You turn over there. The next time wisdom occurs in the book, Ephesians 3 verse 10. And this verse is a climax in the book of Ephesians. God is working to accomplish His eternal plan of redemption. And we're told in Ephesians 1 what that plan is and how to pray in light of it. And now we're seeing in Ephesians 2 and in Ephesians 3 how God is working out that plan in the church and through the church. We come to Ephesians 3. Let's go to verse 8. And here Paul is marveling at his own role in God's eternal plan. He says in verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace or this gift was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by or through the church. How is God's wisdom made known? How is His plan of redemption made known? Through the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Do you see that? You see what's going on? Paul, the very least of all the saints, so undeserving of this, that this gift was given to him to preach to the Gentiles. I mean, think of God's plan, his history of redemption. Now the Gentiles are a part of this. Not just the Jews. And they too are to receive the unfathomable riches of Christ. And Paul has been given the inestimable opportunity to bring this to light, the mystery. What's the mystery? What's been hidden for ages and now made known? The eternal plan of God's redemption. What has been hidden for ages past has now come to light, so that the wisdom, the multifaceted wisdom of God, might now be made known through you, the church, to angelic rulers, it says. Angelic rulers in the heavenly places. God's wisdom in Ephesians is His infinitely brilliant plan to work out His eternal redemption in man. Calling out a people for His name. This is God's wisdom. So now in this age, God is working out His plan to redeem man, and He's doing that through the church. And my friends, you have insight into this. You know this now. Perhaps we went through this and you gained a little more understanding of what God is doing. Perhaps the veil was lifted in your heart and you began to see a little more deeply how God's wisdom in Christ for the redemption of lost people is being worked out through the church. And so you have insight into God's plan of redemption. And Paul's point now back in Ephesians 5:15, Paul's point in light of this is that you live wisely. Think of God's wisdom now. Think of God's wisdom. What is it? His plan of redemption. Now you are to live wisely. What does that mean? What would living wisely mean in light of God's wisdom as He redeems man? God's wisdom, again, displayed in His eternal plan to redeem man, to put him into put man into His kingdom. Okay. Now you are to live wisely. Putting it together, you are to live out the very wisdom of God in His eternal plan of redemption. You are to live it out. Look what God has done in Christ. Now you live that out, is the point. Live your life in light of God's wisdom that He has displayed in Christ. Live your life in light of God's wisdom, His plan of redemption. Live as wise people who understand His eternal plan of redemption. Live like you know this. Live as people who have gained insight into God's plan for all the ages to redeem people and then to sum up everything in Christ in future ages. Bring your walk, bring your lifestyle then into conformity with God's wisdom that He has displayed in His gracious redemption of man as He works that out through the church. And so Paul says in Ephesians 5:15 that we are not to be unwise. Do not be unwise. Don't be someone who does not bring. Don't be someone who does not bring his life into conformity to God's plan of redemption. Don't be somebody like that. God has displayed his wisdom in redeeming people for all of eternity. And you're to live in that wisdom of God. So don't live like you have no insight and no wisdom. Don't live like you have no knowledge that's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Don't live that way like you don't understand of what he's doing through the church. Live wisely. Make lifestyle choices because of his plan for the ages. Make lifestyle choices because of his plan for redemption. To be unwise then is to fail to make lifestyle choices that conform to God's eternal plan of redemption. Do not be unwise. Live out the wisdom of God in redemption. So Paul is calling on us here to live a life that reflects God's plan to redeem man. So how are you going to live wisely? How are you going to conform your lifestyle to God's plan of redemption for all the ages? How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? And the answer to that is by redeeming every moment. You need to conform your lifestyle to God's plan of redemption for all the ages, and you're going to do that by redeeming every moment. In order for you to conform your lifestyle to what God is doing to redeem out for himself a people requires you also to redeem something if you're going to live wisely. God has given us wisdom and insight in his eternal plan. And now I am to live wisely. We are all to live wisely in light of that plan. And to do that, we've got to redeem something ourselves. We must redeem time. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And how are you going to live wisely? You're to live wisely by redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming has the idea of buying something. It's a slave market term. To redeem a slave means to buy him back from the slave market. And the word time refers here to particular events or situations. We can think of them as moments, opportunities. Buy back every moment. So to redeem the time means to make the most of every moment. So the time-saving tips. You ever read any of those? Okay. They are helpful in this context. The context of God's eternal plan for the redemption of man. Setting priorities and accomplishing them. Learning to say no when too much stuff's going on. Developing a mission statement for the church or for the family or a business, or filtering each activity through that mission statement. Do what you do and live the way that you live because of what God is doing in the earth. Do what you do and live the way that you live and make your lifestyle choices based on God's plan of redemption for ages to come. And make those choices so that you can get better plugged into what God is doing. Redeem some time to get plugged into God's plan for all the ages to redeem man. And so there's two kinds of Christians as we see it in the passage. There's two kinds. Wise or unwise. Those who are careful how they live for the sake of God's plan for the ages, these are wise. They know what God is doing for all eternity through the church. There are some Christians like this, and they live in that reality. They live in that reality of what God is doing for all eternity. They live in the reality of God's eternal plan of redemption that He's working out through the church for all eternity. These believers redeem the time that they have. They make the most of every moment in order to best fit into God's plan of redemption. These Christians live in reality. But there are also other Christians, and they do not live in reality. One of the most common phrases in the book of Ecclesiastes is the phrase, chasing the wind. Sound profitable? In other words, trying to find meaning in something inherently unmeaningful. Pointlessness, fleeting, emptiness. This describes the vast majority of people out there. It's like the people of this world who live for the weekends. They go to work to earn money, to buy food, to eat food, to get energy from that food, so that then they can work in order to get money, to buy food, to eat food, and hoping somewhere in the middle of this vicious cycle they can at least have a little bit of pleasure on the weekends. This is like a mouse on his running wheel, isn't it? They keep going and going, but they get nowhere and accomplish nothing of lasting value. The only hope seems to be retirement, which ends up being a life of indebtedness and the inability to actually retire. This is chasing the wind, not living in reality. This is foolish living. Christians can get caught up in that. Can get caught up in this rat race of meaningless existence. And that's why we're commanded to live wisely. But some of you are not careful about how you live. Some of you have head knowledge about God's plan of redemption, but you're not really plugged into that grand reality of what God is doing. If you were honest, you'd have to say that you live as the unwise live. You're caught up in the rat race. You aren't choosing to make lifestyle choices that conform to God's plan of redemption for all the ages. And you do not redeem every moment to better conform your life to what He is doing and to what really matters. To you, when you got saved, God got plugged into your life. But for you, to better participate in God's plan of the redemption of others, not happening. Well, I would say that many of us feel like we need to work on managing our time. I'd say that some feel overwhelmed by the daily grind. And you could go out and get a lot of time-saving tips. And you could use those time-saving tips in order to get more free time for yourself. You could use those time-saving tips, and there's plenty out there, in order to get more free time for the exact same reasons that the world wants more free time. To spend it on your pleasures. In other words, if you were to say to me, you know, I want to learn how to make the most of every moment. Okay, I would ask you why. Why do you want to make the most of every moment? And you might say, well, because I want to spend more time with my family and to raise my kids better and to have some free time for hobbies. And I would ask you, great, why do you want more time with your family? Why do you want to raise your kids better? Why do you want to have some free time for hobbies? And what is the right answer to that? Do you want to make the most of every moment to gain more free time only because you're running a freak show in your house and you're pulling your hair out trying to get everything done and you're so busy and tired you can't think straight, and if somebody else asks you to do something you'll think you'll implode and have a meltdown? Is that why? Is that why you want to redeem the time? If that's you, yeah, you do need some help. But is this what ought to motivate time redemption? That kind of a scenario I painted, that is what motivates the world to get them to better manage their time. This is what motivates the world and their rat race. So, of course, the answer to why we redeem the time is because we want to be more a part of what God is doing in the world. And He is redeeming people. This is why we should want to redeem the time. And further help with the reason why we redeem the time is at the end of verse 16. Look at it. We live carefully as wise people who have spiritual understanding of God's plan of redemption, and we redeem the time within that plan of redemption, and we do this at the end of verse 16 because why? Because the days are evil. You're to buy back time from the slave market. You're to buy back time because the days in which each opportunity you have exists are evil. Those are evil days that your opportunities exist in. Every opportunity you have lives inside of an evil day. That's the kind of day that every one of your opportunity lives in. And so what's the danger? There's a danger. The danger is that each opportunity you have could be used for evil. Each opportunity you have, then, in this dark world, lives in the slave market of evil. And you're called upon to buy that opportunity back to be used in God's plan of redemption. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Each of your opportunities is standing there in the evil day slave market. Look, there on that platform, there are opportunities for the day. Buy them. You could buy them to be used in God's plan. They are waiting to be purchased back from the slave market. Are you going to make each moment you have your slave for Christ's redemption? Or are you going to let Satan have his evil way with your moment? Consider this, as we saw this morning. There was once a time when you were in Satan's slave market too. You were once wrapped up in these evil days. If you've trusted Christ and turned from your sins, you as a believer, were once underneath the control of the prince of the power of the air. Satan was your father. And under his power, you rebelled against God wholeheartedly. And Satan kept you underneath his terrible enslavement, and you were a child of wrath, even as the rest. But by the mercy of God, he rescued you. He rescued you from that domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. And now you are light in the Lord. But the prince of the power of the air is still at work. And you live in the midst of his evil days as you await your final redemption. And because this is reality, live in it. Live wisely in these evil days during which God is redeeming people. And what God is doing in his redemption of man was revealed to us, humanity, hundreds of years ago. Daniel chapter 7, the setting is in eternity past. And Daniel keeps on looking in his night vision. And he sees the Ancient of Days taking his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like white wool. And his throne was ablaze with flames and wheels of burning fire. There is a river of fire flowing, coming out from before him, and thousands upon thousands attending to him. And myriads upon myriads were standing before him, and the courts sat, and the books were opened. And then Daniel tells us that he keeps looking, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man is coming. Christ is coming. And he approaches the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And Daniel 7:14 says, then to him, to the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion, an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed. And folks, this reality is being fulfilled today. God is fulfilling this vision. God is calling out peoples from the nations, and men and women and children from every language. And he has been doing this since Adam fell in the garden and since Christ died and rose again. And after this very Son of Man's death and resurrection, the gospel of Christ began to spread from that little speck of a nation to encompass the entire globe. He is fulfilling this today. And one day the light will break forth into this dark world, and Christ will come, and his dominion will be an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Folks, this is reality. Are you living in this? Is this your reality? God is redeeming people. And what he is calling upon us to do in light of this eternal plan of redemption is for us to redeem something as well. We need to redeem every moment within this plan of redemption of his. We must redeem every moment to better participate in his eternal plan. Christ purchased you back from the slave market. Now you purchase your time back for his sake, for the sake of his kingdom. Well, why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't a believer make the most of every moment to better participate in his eternal plan, God's eternal plan? And the answer to that is in our text, and it's this: he has become foolish. That's why. And that's not my opinion. That's verse 17, Ephesians 5. Therefore, do not be unwise. That's foolish. And you could translate that, become foolish. So then, do not become foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this indicates the possibility of a believer becoming foolish and not living in light of what God is doing in the earth. A believer who has become foolish has become careless with his time, and has become careless with his actions in light of what God is doing to redeem man. He lacks real spiritual comprehension of the truth and of what is really real. And though he hears it in a message like this, he does not give his full attention to it, and fails to work hard at spiritually comprehending God's truth, and then he fails to make decisions to live in light of God's plan of redemption. This is a fool. A saved, unwise person. He runs his life like the rest of the world, except perhaps he occasionally opens his Bible, and he might be found at church. And he's just satisfied that he's not watching the wrong kind of movies, or looking at pornography, or not listening to the wrong kinds of music, doesn't go to the wicked places on the internet. He's just satisfied with not doing those things. foolishness. Merely being satisfied with not doing these things is foolishness. That is a foolish believer. So if you think that you are okay because you're not doing this or that, my friend, you've totally lost it. You've missed the boat. You don't understand what God is doing. A believer would become foolish when he doesn't streamline his life to better participate in God's redemptive plan for all the ages. Instead of becoming foolish, the end of verse 17, we are encouraged to understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand the will of the Lord. The foolishness of believers have too long interpreted this verse. Those who have, as of yet, failed to get their life plugged into God's plan of redemption have too long interpreted this verse to refer to matters of personal guidance. Someone who is overly concerned about God's will for their life, for example, who to marry, what job to take, what should I do, this person has not understood in a real life-changing way God's eternal plan of redemption. Yes, these things need to be discussed. That's not my point. But an overly concerned attitude. Yes, these folks may be saved, but they have not owned that plan, God's plan for themselves, and they have not sought to get plugged into God's will. Getting plugged into God's will. It's in the Bible. They are still too concerned with getting God plugged into my life. See the difference? Now, this phrase, the will of the Lord, refers to what we've been talking about this whole time, and that is the will of the Lord in the history of redemption, what God is doing to redeem man. And we know that by looking at the word will in Ephesians 1. Verses 5, 9, and 11, and I won't ask you to turn there, but Ephesians 5, 9, and 11 all have that in there, and it refers to God's will, and each one of those cases refers to what God's will is, which is His redeeming man and summing up everything underneath Christ's leadership. That's God's will. That's what we're to be concerned about. That's what we're to be concerned about. So Paul is pleading with us to truly spiritually comprehend the will of God in Christ and how He is redeeming out for Himself a people for His own name's sake, that they might be a part of His eternal kingdom that will never fail, and to be a part of His dominion that will not pass away. Redeem some time to get plugged into this God's program. He desires us to understand this, that we might make the most of every moment within that plan. And so Paul is calling on us to live in this reality. This is reality. Are you living in this reality, or are you living in a dream world? Your own tiny dream world with your own priorities and your own goals and wishes and your ambitions. Now, I'm not trying to say that everyone quit their jobs and become missionaries. Okay? No, I'm saying that you ought to be a missionary and not quit your job. I'm saying buy back some time with God and His Word and prayer. Buy back some time trying to grow in Christ. Actually trying to grow in Christ. Buy back some time strengthening your family in Christ. Buy back some time within your job to make Wednesday night prayer meeting. Buy back some time to spread the message of this kingdom and disciple others. If you are a Christian, you are required to participate in the discipling of others. You read Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Have you bought back time for this? Do you know how? We can discuss all the time management tips together, but there is a reason why those time management tips are not in the Bible. And there is a reason why the Lord put it here the way that He did. What we really need is a reorientation in our heart concerning God's plan of redemption and our understanding of what God is doing and having the Holy Spirit empower that knowledge. So I could tell you things like, and ladies, you'll appreciate this, unload the dishwasher and instead of putting all the dishes in the cupboard, put the dishes for the next meal on the dinner table. Sounds pretty good. Or I could ask you the question that I ask my kids. What is the most important thing going on in the world today? Rosie, 3 years old, said that the most important thing going on in the world today, swinging on swing sets. Do you live like that? Some of you haven't gotten beyond that yet. Hudson, he's 5. Hudson, what's the most important thing going on in the world today? He says, working on trucks. Do you live like that? Men, are you living like that? Not past a 5-year-old. And Hattie is 6, almost 7. Hattie, most important thing in the world today? Trusting in Jesus. Do you live like that? Okay, it's one thing to get it right on paper, isn't it? It's a totally different thing to get it right in where you spend your time. And why you spend your time there. The reality of the most important thing going on in the world today, God is redeeming out for Himself a people that are set apart, sanctified, made holy, that they might be worthy citizens of His kingdom, so that in the ages to come, He might showcase them to be the unworthy recipients of His infinite kindness in Christ Jesus. This eternal plan of God has direct relevance to every moment of your life. Are you living like it? What does this mean then when there is a conflict in your priorities? When the Bible says do, but I really want to. Which do you choose? Personal time with God, family time with God and prayer and His Word, church attendance, even when times are busy. Men, have you made solid plans as to how your business is going to help you with this? Have you made a plan as to how you're buying back time to evangelize and disciple those in your own family? How you're spending quality time with those in your family? Have you made plans in your job to fulfill God's calling of you within His plan of redemption? Ladies, have you bought back time away from Facebook, computer, or whatever, so that you can better evangelize and disciple your kids? Are you streamlining your life to do this? Children, do you give your parents and others in this church the understanding that you understand this? You know God's eternal plan of redemption. That is in your heart. Does your lifestyle betray you that you know this? Or are you still stuck playing video games that are not sinful and watching G-rated movies, but when it comes to church stuff, you're absent? Can't hold your attention. What reality show are you watching? Listen to this word from God and get plugged into His reality, His plan for the redemption of man. What are you doing every day to streamline your life to get it more in line with what God is doing in the earth? Redeem the time for the sake of God's plan of redemption. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You tonight. We praise You that You are so gracious and patient with us. We thank You that You have suffered long with us. And Father, we thank You for Christ tonight. Thank You for sending Him as you told us hundreds of years ago. And then You sent Him, Your Son, to die for our sins. And then You raised Him from the dead. He ascended back to You and is now at Your right hand. And You have been calling out people to be Your special people. And thank You that we have now a place at Your right hand as well with Christ. We thank You for His redemption and His plan for all the ages and what You are doing through the church. And we ask tonight that You would help us to respond. Help us, we pray. Help us understand what really is the hope of the calling that we have in Christ. The assurance of that. Help us to understand the riches of Your inheritance and the great power that You have displayed in Christ and how that is directed toward us. We pray that You would help us to come to comprehend these things. Forgive us, we pray, for all of our trinkets, all of these little distractions in our lives that take up so much time. Distract us from what is really real. Surely this world is a fleeting vapor. What shall become of us? In Christ, we are raised from the dead, and we praise You for that. Father, we ask, help us to redeem some time that we might better participate in what You are doing for Your Son's sake. Through the church to redeem out a people for Your name. And may we be a people given over to Your causes in the earth. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank You. We're dismissed.